We come bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
This is a recorded presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible Study titled, The Lord Looks at the Heart. Today's recording is part of a series on 1 Samuel chapters 1 through 15. More information about this study is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com.
So I want to know, how are you doing with your writing of Scripture? How many of you are doing it? Ooh, good for you. You guys who are not, you're missing out. I'm just saying, you're missing out on a real blessing that God's going to do in your life. So you want to keep doing that, and because it helps you memorize. How are you doing with the memorization in your book? Are you doing better with that? You're working on it, and we're just hiding the Word of God in our heart, and that's what we want to do. We want to hide the Word of God in our hearts and have that be just a time of refreshing that we have with the Lord. And so we come on, we're in 1 Samuel chapter 3. You've done all of your homework. You know probably more than I do about any of this that I'm going to be sharing with you today. You know things that I won't be sharing with you today because I assume you already know them. So this is taking place, you remember, in chapter 2. In chapter 2, there was a man of God who came, and he gave a word to Eli. This beginning of chapter 3 is years after that first word. There apparently has not been any change in Eli's dealing with his sons. Unfortunately, Samuel is probably about 12 years old. He's gone through a number of tunics and a number of new clothes by this time. He is a young man. He's not a little child. How do we know that he was about 12 years old? Because he couldn't be ministering to the Lord if he were just that little four-year-old that was there. So he was approximately 12 years old. And so we move right on into this. Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. He did it as Eli instructed him. Eli had it down on how you minister to the Lord. But apparently Eli had let some things slip because now it is Samuel who is doing all of the ministering to the Lord. And what it says, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. The word of God, God was not speaking. Remember, we're at the end of Judges right now. We're not hearing the voice of the Lord going through and spreading words to the people around. They depended on the judges, and now they're going to be depending on Samuel for those words. But the word of the Lord was rare. It says in the last days that there would be a famine of the word of God, as it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of the judges, where everyone did what was right in their own eyes. There was a famine of the word of God. Not just this written word, but of the word, listening for the word of God, listening to him speak. This whole chapter is about listening. This whole chapter deals with listening and how we listen and the results of that. There was no widespread revelation. It came to pass at that time, while Eli was lying down in his place. I know it takes place while it's still dark, but it says something more to me as I look at these words. He was lying down in a familiar place. He was lying down in a familiar place. He was sleeping when all this stuff was going on. He had been so used to doing it this way and doing it that way, and he just continued on in what was comfortable. And he obviously had not confronted his boys. obviously had not done anything with the word that God had given him, because here we find him lying in his bed. And when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he couldn't see, so he was almost blinded, was he blinded to something more than just the sights that he could see? Was he blinded to the work of God? Was he blinded to the voice of God? Was he blinded to the other things that were going on around him? And before it was before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord where the ark of God was. It was before the time that, I had a note here, and I'm so far off of my notes right now, but I want to share with you what I read on this. In these three verses, we find the night reigned, the lamp of God was going out in the temple, the high priest's eyes were grown dim so that he could not clearly see, and both he and Samuel were asleep. Put that all together. Nighttime was in charge. Darkness reigned. Darkness was reigning. The lamp of God was going out in the temple. It was almost dawn. That's what that's talking about. But you can't help but look at this and say the lamp was almost going out. It hadn't been speaking to the lives of like Eli, that light had not been tended to. The light had not been tended to. Is the light in our eyes in this temple, is it being tended to? Are you investing that time in prayer? Are you investing that time in the Lord? Are you in his word and just getting that time with him? And the high priest's eyes were grown so dim that he couldn't see clearly. And both he and Samuel were asleep. Both he and Samuel were asleep. But then there were some things that happened after that. And of course, that lamp does refer to the lamp that would be lit as the evening hours came, and then it had to be kept lighted all through the night. So I'm thinking, Samuel probably slept a lot softer because he had a responsibility to make sure that that light was always lit. And so he was always listening for a voice that would remind him to get the light on. Make sure that the light's on. Do we pay attention when the Lord speaks to us and he says, get the light back on. Get that time with me and get that light shining in your life. And so here we go. And so... Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. And God wants to speak to us. God wants to speak to us. Is that not exciting to you? The God of the whole universe, the maker of the heavens and the earth, the one who created everything, wants to talk to me. He wants to talk to me. All I have to do is listen. He wants to talk to me. And I was reminded of the song In the Garden. It was sung at my mom's funeral when I was a little girl, when she died. I guess she died, and so that there was a funeral. That all goes together, doesn't it? So at her funeral, they sang this In the Garden. And I have hung on to those words since I was an 8-year-old. I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses. And the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me something. He tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. He speaks. And the sound of his voice is so sweet that the birds stop their singing. And the melody that he gave to me within my heart is singing. And he walks with me. And he talks with me. And he tells me something. He tells me I belong to him. And that joy that we share as we tarry there early in the morning. None other has ever known. Have you had those moments with the Lord where you tarry there and you feel like no one has ever felt this loved before? Because God loves you, ladies. That is so heavy on my heart that you know that you are loved of God. You are accepted. God wants to do a work in every one of your lives. He wants to use every single one of you. And he has something for every single one of you. No one is without something to do. But we have to listen. And when do we listen? Early in the morning. When it's all quiet, it's still dark, the sun hasn't come up yet. God wants to speak to us. Eli had heard from the Lord in the past, but he hadn't heard from the Lord in a long time. Why had he not heard from the Lord for a long time? I would submit to you, he wasn't listening. He wasn't paying attention. He wasn't creating an atmosphere of listening. You know when you're with someone and you're in this crowded coffee shop or something like that, and the music is playing and everybody around you seems to be exceptionally loud, and you're just trying to have this conversation and you're leaning in to try to hear what the other person's saying, and you miss most of what they're saying, and you do that little, And you hope that you smiled at the right places and laughed at the right places. If they laughed, you laughed, and you were hoping they weren't making fun of you at that time. But when you are with that same person, and there's just the two of you, and nothing else is going on around, it's early in the morning, it's still dark, and you're just listening for what that person has to say to you. Oh, the love of God. How sweet, how pure, how measureless. The love of God that he has for us. And so we move on in this. I don't know why I even wrote notes this time. And so, where were we? And so they were both laying down that the Lord called Samuel and he said, "Here am I." So he ran to Eli. You know the story. He ran to Eli. Three times he went to Eli, and it says in verse 7, "Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him." He did not know the Lord, and yet he was ministering to the Lord. Eli apparently had taught him how to minister to the Lord. He had taught him how to minister to the Lord, and so Samuel was ministering to a Lord that he did not have a personal relationship with. He's about to have a personal relationship with that God. He's about to hear from him, and the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And so when he came there in verse 8, then Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. Now, he perceived that finally. You know when your kids were little and they came in and you were in this sound sleep? I think that Eli was in a really sound sleep. And so when Samuel comes in to wake him up, he's like, "Oh, yeah, no, wasn't me, go to bed." And then the second time, he's like, "Yeah, no, it was not me." And you're annoyed that now they're coming back in again. "For what? I didn't call you." And then the third time, he goes, "Oh, what? It's God. And here's what you're going to do. You're going to say to him, when you go and lie down where you were at, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" And so Samuel immediately obeyed. Samuel could have argued with him, "Well, you're calling me," no, he immediately obeyed and went and did what Eli told him to do. He had grown accustomed to listening. Samuel could hear from the Lord because he had grown accustomed to listening. You know, you've heard it said that we have two ears and one mouth. We're supposed to speak half as much as we listen. And he had grown accustomed to listening. And so the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said exactly what Eli told him to say. And then the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do something in Israel at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. In that day, I will perform against Eli all that I have spoken of concerning his house from beginning to end. And you already studied that in chapter 2. You've already gone over all of that. For I've told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquities which he knows because his sons made themselves vile and he did not restrain them. He was told, do something about the way that your sons are leading people astray. That's what he was talking about. It was bad enough that his sons were doing those things, but what was even worse is they were making the people despise the sacrifice of God. That's what he's called into question for. And Eli feared the unhappiness of his boys more than he feared the Lord. We live in a day, I'm sorry to say, and I know it's not amongst you guys because I know how you guys live, but there is not a fear of God. There is not a fear of God. And it needs to change. And that's what God's calling us to. And therefore, I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever. So Samuel lay down until morning, opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel was afraid to speak to Eli about what he had heard. Samuel had a gentle, compassionate, loving heart. And how do you go to someone who is been over you, taken care of you, brought you into that place, taught you how to minister to the Lord, and tell them that story? And yet Eli called Samuel, and he came, and he said, here I am, and was recognizing that that was, in fact, Eli's voice telling him to come. And he said, what is the word that the Lord spoke to you? Please do not hide it from me. How did he say that? Please don't hide it from me. I really want to know what you had to say. But then he goes on to say, but more, God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me of all the things that he said to you. So, you know, maybe he started out really nice and Samuel's going like, I don't want to understand. Well, God do to you even more. Okay, relax, chill. Let me tell you what it is. Buckle up, because I've got something to say to you. And then Samuel told him everything, hid nothing from him. Eli said, it's the Lord. It's the Lord. I recognize the voice of the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him. Acceptance of the consequences of disobedience. What it would be, he must have remembered what God had told him about what he was supposed to do with his boys. And here he's being confronted with the consequences of his disobedience. And you got to hand it to him, he did humbly accept it. And so it says that so Samuel grew and the Lord was with him and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel had been established as a prophet of the Lord. And then I think that verse 21 actually should go with chapter 4. But then the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. So there are some things in here of how we listen and why was Samuel able to listen. So who is it that God speaks to? He's always speaking to us. Who does God speak to according to this particular text that we have here? God spoke to a child. We are called to be childlike. We are not called to be childish. We are called to be childlike. What does that mean? When children ask a question, do you see that anticipation on their face? They really expect you to answer it. As we get older and we get all of the paperwork done and we look so smart and we have everything going for us and we've got it all together and we've done all of this before, we are not as apt. We oftentimes will ask a question and then go on talking about something else, not expecting to get an answer. But to be childlike is to ask a question and expect an answer. To live in expectation. Do you live in expectation of the Lord? Do you live in an expectation of hearing from Him and knowing that He has you in His heart and in His mind? We are to be childlike. God speaks to children and they respond just as Samuel did. Number two, when did God speak to him? We've already gone through this in the garden. Alone, while the dew is still on the roses, early in the morning, when it's quiet. There aren't even any birds singing at that particular time. It's not dawn yet. This is the time before the light had gone out in the temple. So it's still dark. It's quiet. And you can hear that, those words. And where was he? When was he spoken to? When Samuel was ministering to the Lord. And there is a difference in ministering to the Lord or ministering for the Lord. When we minister to the Lord, we are praising Him. We are getting that time alone with Him. We are loving on Him. We are not expecting anything in return. This is just for you, God. I just want to give you glory. I want to give you honor. And by the way, I just want to put in at this particular place, it is a great time to come to the church. Here's a challenge I'm going to give you. Okay. Number one, I want to encourage you at 7 o'clock in the morning, every morning, we have prayer here. If you can make it, that's great. We would love to have you be here. We all pray together, and it's a neat time. It's a small group, which prayer groups normally are. But if you can't come here, here's the challenge. At 7 o'clock, remember how we used to at 7:14? In the morning, 7:14 in the evening, we used to set aside 1 minute to pray. Could we start doing that again, please? Can we start doing that at 7:14 in the morning? Just stop what you're doing and just pray for a minute. Just a minute. And we'll all be praying together if we will do that. And 7:14 in the evening, if you can do that, it would be great. You'll see God do great things. You are ministering to the Lord. Ministering for the Lord is someone who is a missionary, someone who does a lunch and a prayer, someone who does, I'm ministering for the Lord. I am putting across the Lord's name to other people. I am showing the Lord to other people. That is ministry for the Lord. And God wants us to minister to Him first. And we have in, Acts 13:2, as Paul and Barnabas ministered to the Lord said to separate them for the ministry, for the Lord. So as they ministered to the Lord called them out and said, I want them to minister for me. So that difference in there. Samuel only knew about the Lord, and still he knew he was worthy of praise. Samuel will know the Lord. And so where did the Lord speak to Samuel? He was in his bed. This I look at and I say, he was at rest. He was at rest. Samuel was at rest. Where will the Lord speak to you? When you're at rest. When you're at rest, not necessarily in your bed, although I think that's a great time, but when you're just at rest so that you can hear Him. Oftentimes we don't hear from the Lord because we're all in a rush, running to and fro, keeping ourselves busy because all of these things are so important. And at the end of the day, we go, oh, what did I get done today? I didn't even get anything done today. I was running all over the place. Get that time with the Lord. And so number four, why did God speak to Samuel? Why did God speak to Samuel? Because Samuel was dedicated. Remember, Hannah dedicated him to the Lord? He was dedicated to the Lord. He was wholly surrendered. He had taken the vow of a Nazarite. He was, here's the key, Samuel was listening. Why did God speak to Samuel? Because Samuel was listening. Because he was paying attention. And why did God speak to Samuel? Because God had a message to deliver, and Samuel was willing to deliver it. He was responsive, and he got out of bed. Yesterday morning, I wanted to sleep in. Oh, I wanted to sleep in. But I also wanted to be here for 7 o'clock prayer. And I can't do both. So I was so glad that I came. That's an encouragement for you to come to. God spoke to me during that time. Why? I got out of bed. I started the day with that. Samuel was listening. While Bill is gone, oftentimes I'm going to be wakened. I'm always wakened at the weirdest times of night with something on my heart. Something that the Lord is speaking to me to pray for Bill. And it's always happened every trip he's ever gone on. I will be wakened up with something on my heart to pray for Bill. Because wherever he's at, it's daytime, wherever he's at. And so I'll be praying specifically for something. And then I will find out later, without saying anything to him, I'll find out later what was going on at that particular time. When Bill was in Belize, I remember that as he was there, before cell phones, before any way of being in touch with each other, you just had to depend on the Lord. You just had to depend on the Holy Spirit to speak to you. And I remember I was ironing, and the Lord spoke to me, and he said, start praying for his safety. Start praying for his safety. And I began to pray for his safety. I knew something had happened, but I had no idea what was going on. When they came home, as I picked them up from the airport, here's one guy with a broken shoulder. They had been in an accident. They had, down in Belize, they had rolled the car. They made a turn on Devil's Curve. And here's the thing. The people were amazed that they were alive because the people said, you don't live through that. They completely rolled the car several times and walked away. When I found out, when did that happen? Oh, let me think. That's right when I was ironing. That's right when the Lord put on my heart to pray for his safety and the safety of the others that were there. See, you can just be doing things, but you're always alert, always listening. God spoke to me at that time so that when they got home, I could tell them the story. And what about that? God gets the glory. I get to tell him the story, and God gets the glory. You think that you're up in the night for no reason, you're always up for a reason. I just can't sleep because I got this on my mind and that on my mind, and that could be true. That could be a possibility that you have a bunch of stuff on your mind, but you know what? Could also be a possibility that the Lord say, let go of those things and listen to what I have for you to pray for. And using that time for prayer. Whenever we go to women's retreats and ladies are concerned, oh, I snore and I'm going to wake everybody else up. Well, here's the deal. If the other people are wakened up, how about if we look at that and go, one, it's only two nights, and two, what does God want me to pray for? Maybe this woman who is snoring really needs you to pray for her. Not that she would stop snoring, but sometimes God, although that's probably not a bad idea, but sometimes God will use that kind of noise to draw our attention to that person. I might not have prayed for that person under any other circumstances. Yep. We get angry. They're keeping me awake. What am I going to do? I will never be able to function. Oh, come on. You've been without sleep before. We all have. This is opportunity that God has called you to minister to him and minister for him in a way that somebody else doesn't even know that it's happening. They're being prayed for in a way God's telling you how to pray for them. Have you ever been in that situation? You start praying for somebody and all of a sudden you're praying for a specific thing and you're going, I don't know why I'm praying that, but, and you pray for them and you find out later that's exactly where they were at. That's so cool. That is so cool. Right? Right. Yes. And so why does God speak to us? Because in this case, Samuel was faithful to share the word of the Lord. He gave out what God gave to him. And from that time on, everything, every word that he gave, the Lord had given to him, he spoke in tenderness to Eli. Samuel was tender. Can you imagine getting that word and just spewing it out to someone? That you're going to die and your boys are going to die in one way and what God told you before and you're not doing anything about it, that's what's going to happen. But no, Samuel did it in love. He spoke the truth in love. He spoke a hard word, but he spoke it in love. Nathan didn't really want to have to tell David that he was the man that had committed this sin. And yet Nathan did it with tenderness and compassion. He spoke the truth in love. Number five, how does God speak to us? Through his word, through this word, and through the word that we hear, through other people, through a sermon, through that still, small voice. Hebrews 3, 7 and 8 says, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear my voice, don't harden your hearts. Today, if you will hear my voice, respond. If you will hear my voice, respond. Today, when the Lord speaks to you, listen and obey, because obedience is better than sacrifice. Eli had become dull of hearing and could no longer see clearly, and too many things got in the way. Too many compromises had taken place. Too many compromises had taken place. He was not hearing from God, although he held a prestigious position. Everybody thought he was hearing from God. From the outside, it looked like he was hearing from God, but he wasn't hearing from God, and it took Samuel. And then he took on those consequences we already talked about. God spoke to Samuel, and God will speak to us if we are, a few things, and we're closing with this, if we are available. God will speak to us if we are listening. God will speak to us if we are resting in him. God will speak to us when we are childlike. We come to him with anticipation of hearing. God will speak to us when we're trusting him. And God will speak to us when we are wholly sold out for him and to him. And God will speak to us if we simply just ask him to speak to us and then we listen for the answer. When I came in here today, I came in expecting God to speak to me. And even as I've been talking today, God has been speaking to me about some things that have nothing to do with anything that's coming out of my mouth. Is that amazing? See, I just ask God to speak to me. And he's not even interrupting me. When I'm talking, he's not even interrupting me, but it's going in there, and I don't know how that works because I'm not real ADD, so I don't know how that works, but there. But just listen to the Lord. Listen to the Lord and let him hear your voice early in the morning and let him hear your silence early in the morning. And so, Lord, I thank you, Father, that you have come to us. You have spoken your word, Lord. You have ministered to us. You have loved us with that everlasting love. Father, that we want to just minister to you. We want to minister to you so that we can also minister for you, Lord. Help us first thing in the morning, Lord, to seek your face, to walk with you, to bring glory to your name, because you are worthy, Lord. We lift your name on high. You are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. We worship before you, Lord. We bring glory to your name because you are worthy to receive it. And Father, we live in a time, we are living in the last days. Would you cause us to have our eyes wide open, our sensors up, Lord? We come against the work of the enemy in any way. There is no weapon formed against us that will prosper. We stand strong in the power of your might, Lord. We put on the whole armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the sword of the Spirit, and our feet shod with the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Lord, as we go into this day and into our small groups, and we just minister to you and minister for you at the same time. We thank you, we praise you, in Jesus' name, amen.
Jesus, we worship you for all you are. Father, we want to bow our whole life down. Spirit, invade the broken places in our hearts. The places in our hearts.
Thank you for listening to this Heart to Heart Women's Bible Study recorded at Refuge Calvary Chapel in Huntington Beach. We hope that you've been encouraged by today's lesson and join us again as we continue to study through the Word of God. For more information about the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry, please visit our website at www.refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.
Letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name. I'm giving up, letting go.